Watch This, a podcast for Arkham Horror the Card Game. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Watch This. I am going to be playing the last scenario in my Dream Eaters playthrough today, and I'm going to be taking Sephina through Where the Gods Dwell, which is the last scenario in the Dream Eaters. We're playing with some face tokens in the bag, and they are three skulls, one cultist, and two tablets. So let's see what they mean. Skulls are minus X, where X is the number of the current act. Cultists are reveal another token, and if you fail, place a doom on the current agenda. And tablets are minus four. If you fail, choose and reveal a copy of Nyarlathotep in your hand. It attacks you and is shuffled into the encounter deck. Okay, so let's read out Agenda 1. Agenda 1A, the Eye of Chaos. I see you there, playing with fate like it is all some sort of game. Did you really think you could escape my grasp? What makes you think you are the one in control? 7 do. And then, Act 1A is Journey Through the Cold Wastes. You have come to the land of Leng, a barren icy wasteland where you believe the peak of unknown Kadath resides. All the while a presence taunts you, gnawing at your insides. It is a wordless, derisive voice that you cannot hear, but feel within the confines of your mind. And it has a clue threshold of 2. So, I begin at the Plateau of Leng. So I'm going to put my little investigator on the Plateau of Leng, and then I'm going to draw my opening hand. We get Sixth Sense, Read the Signs, Four of Cups, Painted World, Four of Cups, Deny Existence, Guts, Banish, Scroll of Secrets, Randolph Carter, Spectral Razor, Parallel Fates, and Grotesque Statue. So that's not a bad opening hand. Okay, do we have enough events? Well, we have Read the Signs. We have Deny Existence. We have Banish. We have Spectral Razor, and we have Parallel Fates. So those are the five events that are going under Seth. I don't have much of a choice. Although, to be fair, Parallel Fates under Seth is a real result, so I'm not going to look that gift horse in the mouth. That is quite excellent. And one of these Four of Cupses goes down into play. Okie dokie. I start at the Plateau of Leng. The icy desert Plateau of Leng, which no healthy folk visit and whose evil fires are seen at night from afar. And that's H.P. Lovecraft. There are two clues here. Enforced, when an enemy attempts to spawn at an empty location and there are no empty locations in play, spawn that enemy here instead. And sorry, I'm too used to playing two-player. There's in fact one clue here, not two. Sorry, my fault. So, it's got a shroud of 3. What do I want to do first? I've got 5 resources, because it's the start of the game. I've got to read the signs underneath me, so I could play Painted World as a copy of Read the Signs. But I think instead I'm going to pay 3 resources, first action, for a copy of Sixth Sense. Pop that down there. And then I think second action, I'm going to investigate. So, let's see. I'm going to be 5 on 3, so I'm 2 up with my Sixth Sense. And the cultist puts doom on the agenda. So, if I draw that, then am I likely to succeed? What's the chance of me drawing that and then failing? I don't. It's an interesting. But I'm going to do it. 2 up. Investigating to get this clue. It is a tablet, which is a minus 4. So if I fail, I choose and reveal a copy of Nyarlathotep in my hand, but I don't have one. So I do fail, but no copy of Nyarlathotep to bug me. And then I'm going to go again. Again, 5 on 3. This time it's a minus one. Brilliant. So I get this clue, and that's the end of Sephina's go. There's no enemies in the enemy phase, so in the upkeep phase, I draw a card and take a resource, and the card I draw is Counterspell. And I get a resource, so I'm up to three resources, which means hopefully I can play Grotesque Statue in a minute. I put a Doom on the agenda, going to one of seven, and I draw my first encounter card of the game, which is... And let's see what we get. Dreamer's Curse. Revelation, test five heads. For each point you fail by, take a damage to a maximum of three damage. For the purposes of counting icons committed, books, fists, and feet are matching, and heads and question marks are double. Okay, so, what do I want to do here? So I'm evens. I don't really want to take a bunch of damage, but I do have Deny Existence underneath me, and I do have Painted World in hand. I'd rather not use Painted World to recur Deny Existence, though, which might mean I should take Deny Existence from underneath. I've only got five health. I have got a copy of Randolph in hand, but I don't want to spoil anything for you listeners. But playing him to soak the damage seems like it could be daft. Although, having said that, because of the rules of this, he's worth four icons. So if I commit him, I'll be four up. So let's commit Randolph. I'm four up. Let's take a... Take a Chaos token. It's a minus one, so I pass and I don't take any damage. And Dreamer's Curse goes away. Okay, so I've got three actions left. So, with my three resources, I'm going to play my Grotesque Statue. Comes in with three charges on it. And I'm going to go to the Cold Wastes, which is the only place I can go from here. Then came a wide gap in the range, where the hideous reaches of Transmontane Leng were joined to the Cold Waste on this side, by a low pass through which the stars shone wanly. And that is, again, H.P. Lovecraft. Two Shroud and one Clue. Forced. After you reveal a skull, cultist, tablet, elder thing, or tentacle while investigating, you must either take a damage or lose an action. Okay, so I played Grotesque Statue and I move. And then we're going to investigate. Yeah, why not? So I am... 5 on 2. Plus 1. Brilliant. Get this clue. Don't have to take a damage. That's nice. And now I have enough clues to advance the act. But I think I'll do that at the start of my next turn. So let's do upkeep. I draw a copy of Time Warp and a resource. So I've got one resource. And my hand is Painted World, Four of Cups, Guts, Scroll of Secrets, Counterspell, and Time Warp. We go up to 2 of 7 Doom, and we draw an encounter card. The encounter card is Deeper Slumber. Put Deeper Slumber into play in your threat area. Your maximum hand size is reduced by 3 and is checked after each time you draw one or more cards. And for two actions, I can discard Deeper Slumber. Okay, I think I am going to pay a resource first action. Oh no, sorry, I should advance act first. So dump my clues. Let's read the back of this act. The Monastery. Traversing the wastes of Leng is no easy task. The cold bites at your skin and the bitter winds lash against your face. Even if you encounter no nameless monsters, the land itself may yet still claim your life. You try desperately to stay warm, but there is no refuge in the icy desolation. Exhausted, you collapse into a nearby snowdrift. To your surprise, you feel hard stone thrust into your ribcage. The pain shocks you out of your enervation, and you brush aside the snow to examine what it hides. Eventually, you uncover a curious stone idol in the shape of a horned creature, which glows and vibrates with faint energy. And in the distance, you hear a stone slab shifting in the snow. Reveal the Monastery of Leng, and then spawn the set-aside High Priest not to be described at the Monastery of Leng. The Monastery of Leng... When you finally reach the domed temple in the snow, you are distraught to find its doors sealed shut with no lock to speak of. Perhaps there is another way inside. Well, there is, because we've found it. There are two clues here. Brilliant. Shroud of three. And as a free action, I can spend a clue as a group to remember that I maneuvered the priest closer. A great domed space whose walls were carved in shocking bas-reliefs and whose centre held a gaping circular pit surrounded by six malignly stained stone altars in a ring. The high priest not to be described is not to be described. Suffice it to say, it has three health and it's quite tough. If I exhaust it and spend a clue, then I can remember that I stunned the priest, and until the end of the scenario, it gets minus three fight, which could be useful. Because I haven't yet drawn Shriveling, but I do have Spectral Razor, which could do three damage if it were not for the fact that this chap is elite, so I could only do two. But I could Painted World with a Spectral Razor. Well, we'll see. Okay. And then Act 2A, the thing in the robes. Inside the domed structure is a raised dais. Upon it sits a lumpish figure robed in yellow silk, a mask covering its face. It says it drawls, so, "My master has plans for you," it drawls. "Now step forward and receive my gift." You shake your head. You have seen this sort of disguise before. You know what sort of creature this priest truly is. And if I maneuver the priest closer and stun the priest, then I can defeat the high priest not to be described. Which could be handy, because Seth does have much better feet than she's got fists. And it does only have a evade of three. So perhaps that is a shout, in fact. Okay, so I've got three actions left. High priest not to be described is alert, so it will attack me if I flub that evasion check. And I don't have any clues. So from where I am, I can go to the Onyx Gates or I can go to the Monastery of Leng. The Onyx Gates, I don't know how many clues there are yet because I haven't been. The Monastery of Leng has enough clues that I could maneuver the priest closer and stun the priest. So I could move, evade the priest, and then investigate. Or I could investigate here twice and hope to get... No, that's damn. Best way of going about doing it. Maybe I go down to the Onyx Gates and try and get the clues there. Or maybe I go... evade him with a grotesque statue charge. This is the point at which I wish I still had ethereal form in this deck. So I think my best bet is to go and use a grotesque statue charge to try to evade him and then read the signs. Although read the signs is underneath me, so maybe that's daft too. Okay, so... Oh, he can't make attacks without opportunity. Ho-ho, this changes everything, listeners. So I'm going to move, I'm going to draw, can't because conflict. I'm going to move, I'm going to take a resource, and I'm going to play the Painted World as an exact copy of Read the Signs. So I'm going to investigate, and I am 7 books on 3, so I'm 4 up. Zero. So I get both of these clues, which is great. So I'm going to immediately spend one of them to remember that I have maneuvered the priest closer. And then that is the end of my turn. Then in the enemy phase, I'm engaged with the high priest not to be described, who is going to do a damage and a horror to me. And in the enemy phase, when he attacks, he exhausts. And then there's a free window afterwards. And I will spend my other clue to... remember that I stunned the priest. So he lunges at Seth and she launches an attack with a paintbrush at him, stunning him with art, perhaps. Anyway, and then in upkeep, the priest readies and I draw a copy of Ward of Protection and I go up to a resource. Deeper Slumber means I must reduce... Well, my maximum hand size is reduced by 3, so it's actually 5. So I have to discard the copy of 4 of Cups that's in my hand to go back down to 5 cards. But that's no great loss. Doom goes on the agenda. We're at 3 of 7 Doom. And I draw an encounter card, which is Somniphobia. Test heads 5. For each point you fail by, take a horror to a maximum of 3 horror. And for the purposes of counting, icons committed to this skill test, books, fists and feet, count as matching, and heads and question marks count as 2 matching. Okay, so I'm evens. I've got quite a lot of horror, so I'm just going to test. Plus 1. I get away with that. Brilliant. Thank you, Chaos Bag. And we discard that. Okay. Then I am engaged with the High Priest not to be described, but I have done all of the things that I need to do to defeat it according to the act. So I'm going to spend my first action to defeat the High Priest not to be described. If you defeated the High Priest not to be described using the ability on Act 2A, read the following. A foul fate. Despite your fear, or perhaps as a result, you discover a means to escape the creature's grasp. With the creature distracted, you shove it with all of your might, and it topples into the gaping well in the center of the room, letting out a hideous screech in its wake. With the monster dispatched, you can explore its monastery in relative peace. Along the ruined walls of the stone building, tapestries depict the history of this land, a history of blood and suffering that you have no desire to remember when this is all said and done. Great snow-capped peaks loom over each of these scenes. In just one of them, a castle is woven in black thread. Then Act 3A is Beyond Dreams. You believe that Kadath is the highest peak far to the north, but in order to open the gates leading to that forsaken land, you must prove that it exists. And my objective is that if each investigator is on the Onyx Gates and there are no clues on it, advance. Okay, so we've got 2 actions left. I'm kind of tempted to spend the 2 actions to remove my deeper slumber. Because I'm not going to play... I guess I could play Scroll of Secrets, actually. I was just about to say, I don't want to discard any of the 5 cards I've got in hand, which are Guts, Scroll of Secrets, Counterspell, Time Warp, and Water Protection. But I do have a resource, so spending the resource to get the scroll down means I would not then have to discard one. So yeah, I'll spend a resource to put the scroll down, second action, and then I will move over to the Cold Wastes, and that's the end of my turn. The Onyx Gates are connected to the Cold Wastes, so I'm 1 away. Okay, so I'm back down to 0 resources because I played a Scroll of Secrets, but then I do upkeep, so I'm back up to 1, and I draw Stars of Hyades. Okay. Right, we're going to be shuffling Stars of Hyades back into the deck, and we're going to be grouping these cards under... shuffling these cards under Seth. Spectral Razor, excellent. I mean, not excellent. Like, you know, I like Spectral Razor. I would have preferred to get rid of Banish. However, I'm very glad I didn't get rid of Parallel Fates, which would have been a real bummer. Okay, excellent stuff. And it means I've only got 4 cards in hand, which means Deeper Slumber is a little bit less of a pressing concern now. Also nice. It's all silver linings. Drawing Stars of Hyades is always just lovely, lovely to see it. Great card, great card. Okay, and let's draw an encounter. We have Dreamer's Curse. Test 5 heads. For each point you fail by, take a damage to a maximum of 3 damage. For the purposes of counting, icons committed to the skill test, books, fists and feet count as matching, and will and question marks count as 2 matching. I have a choice here. I can either Water Protection this or I can Guts it. And I'm going to Water Protection it. So I take a horror, I spend that resource, and I ward it, and it goes away. Because I only have 4 damage left. I haven't seen David Renfield yet. And possibly that's a little bit pessimistic of me. I don't want to take 3 damage. I'm keen not to. Okay. Right, so it's my go. 3 actions left. Let's go down to the Onyx Gates. First action. It is Leng and Kadath traded, so I think I might be getting closer, listeners. Where they dwelt, there must the cold waste lie close, and within it, unknown Kadath and its Onyx Castle for the Great Ones. Lovecraft. Oh, hello. There are 12 clues here. Okay, and it has a shroud of 2. After it is revealed, check your campaign log and remove 1 clue from the Onyx Gates for each tally mark recorded next to evidence of Kadath. Okay, so how much evidence do I have? I have 9. So I remove 9 of these clues, and there are, in fact, 3 left. So when I was wondering earlier, listener, I wonder whether there are 2 clues there. The answer was, yes, John, there are 2 clues there. There's only a shroud of two, though, so it's not too bad to get these three, I hope. So I've got two actions left. I think I'll probably investigate. That's a good plan. So, yeah, sixth sense. I'm 5-2. And I have a tablet, which is -4, which means I fail. And I can treat myself as investigating a connecting location, but I do not want to. And let's just investigate again. Again, 5-2. And that's a -4. Okay, no clues for John. That's the end of my turn, so it's upkeep. Draw a card, which is another copy of Counterspell. So I've got two Counterspells, a Time Warp and a Guts in hand. And I go up to a resource. We put the fifth Doom on the agenda and we draw an encounter card, which is Mysterious Chanting. Place two Doom on the nearest cultist. And if there are no cultists, search the encounter deck and discard pile for a cultist and draw it. Shuffle the encounter deck. Well, there are no cultists in play, so I am shuffling. And I'm searching. What have we got? Oh, an acolyte. Yeah, why not? Cool. I'll just... Oh, hang on. No, cause... Oh, this is tricky because... The doom will mean that if I don't kill it this turn, agenda will flip around early, which is not ideal. But if I reveal a liar with no face, then... It spawns engaged with me, which is also nice. Right, okay. What do I do here? Okay, so, listener. I've got a choice here. I can spawn a liar with no face, which is a cultist, or I can spawn an acolyte or a wizard of the order, both of which are also cultists. Now, if I spawn an acolyte or a wizard of the order, I will be putting doom on it, either immediately or at the end of the mythos phase, and that means that I will be in the witching hour. And I don't have any ability to go and kill an acolyte or a wizard of the order, so it is likely that the agenda will pop. If I... spawn a liar with no face. A liar with no face is a 3-4-3 hunter, and it won't cause the agenda to advance. But what it will do is it will mean I need to evade it and then investigate twice and then evade it and then investigate and then move. And I'm going to be evading one up, which means I'm relatively unlikely to succeed both unless I spend grotesque statue charges, and grotesque statue charges are good. So basically, spawning the liar with no face potentially means I am one action better off than losing a round of the game to an acolyte spawning, but means I might have to spend grotesque statue charges, and if any of my evasions fail, I'm going to be exactly as well off as I was with the acolyte, except I'm going to be less good in terms of board state. And so I have decided that I am going to spawn, I might actually spawn the Wizard of the Order, just on the basis that, well, I don't think I'm actually going to have to go and deal with him if I put him back at the start, because I suspect in a minute this location is actually going to go away. I wish I had saved my Ward of Protection now, because then I would have three extra actions this game, and that would have been a better play. I'm not sure whether that was a misplay I'm going to look back on and be like, that's where it all went wrong. But I think it was definitely a misplay. Hopefully it doesn't end up being the misplay that ruins the run. But anyway, so when you're asking yourself, why on earth has he just spawned a Wizard of the Order to make the agenda pop early? That is my thinking. It might not be the correct line of play, but I think it's my best line of play. And I need to try and grab these three clues quick. So I am going to do that. Let's investigate. I'm 3-5-2. Or do I commit guts to be higher and draw a card? Yeah, actually, because I would quite like to see Crystal Pendulum. But then there's a stars in there. What else would I be looking for? I've got Parallel Fate. I mean, I would also quite like Word of Command or Painted World. Yeah, I'm going to commit guts, be 7-2. It's the skull, which is a -3. So annoyingly, I would have succeeded without guts, but I get to draw a card, and it is a copy of Sixth Sense, and I get a clue. Second action, I will investigate again. Minus one, I get the second clue, and then I investigate again. It's the tablet, so I don't get that third clue yet, annoyingly. And I don't have enough money to play Counterspell. I could Time Warp and draw a different token, but that seems like it is probably an unwise use of my time. I'm just going to lump it. Okay, so end of my turn, upkeep, draw another copy of Guts, which is nice. Go up to two resources, and then Doom goes on the agenda, and we advance, and the Doom on the Wizard of the Order goes away for now. The Mire of Dreams. Do not try to run now. You are mine. You will never, ever, ever wake up. And if it is Act 4, read the following. Well, it is not Act 4, game. It is Act 3, although I am working on it, so I don't have to read the rest of that agenda. Agenda 2A, The Shape of Chaos. Why do you fight? Why do you flee? I am your future. I am your fate. Another mask for my collection. Another corpse for me to wear. 5 Doom. Okay, well, that was cheerful. So let's draw an encounter card, and the encounter card I draw is Restless Journey Hardship. Okay, so Peril Hidden, Revelation, secretly add this card to your hand. You cannot commit more than one card to skill tests each round. As a bolt action, I can discard this card and test 3 fists, and if I fail, I place a Doom on the current agenda, and this effect can cause the current agenda to advance. Gets added to my hand, which means I'm above my hand limit, so I discard a copy of Sixth Sense. Okay, let's try getting this last clue. 5 on 2. It's a 0. Brilliant. Get the last clue. I should note that the Wizard of the Order did get a Doom at the end of that Mythos phase. I should have said that out loud. Apologies, listener. And I am at the Onyx Gates, and there are no clues on it, so I may advance. I lose all my clues. Hey, and then I read the scenario interlude in the campaign guide before I advance to Act 4A. So, losing my clues. Excuse me. And let's resolve the scenario interlude. Higher and higher, you scale the mountains far to the north. Pale light shines from atop a great black peak, piercing the vibrant firmament. This is a lot of text. I'm not going to read all of this, listeners, but basically, we get there, and it's bad. Like, everyone's out. And you know that feeling when you've, like, got the train somewhere, you've got to go see your friend, and then when you get to your friend's house, they've actually moved, and they didn't tell you, and you're like, oh man, I guess they never really liked me anyway. That's what's happened here, but with Virgil and some gods. So Virgil is like, I don't understand. And we flip the Onyx Castle, which was blocked from our way, and we can now enter the Great Hall. And in fact, we end up in the Great Hall, and we remove the other locations from the game entirely. So the Wizard of the Order gets discarded, and the other locations get taken away as well. It turns out that Randolph has betrayed us, and so we take Randolph out of our deck. Filthy traitor man, which is one of the reasons why I didn't play him. I committed him instead, because I knew he was going to go away. And then the Black Cat is not at my side, so the crawling chaos splits into 100,000 shadows and vanishes into the cold, dank air. So, I randomly shuffle 2 copies of the set-aside Nyarlathotep enemy, and I don't look at them, and I shuffle them into the encounter deck. So, now, the Nyarlathoteps say on them that I can't discuss them while they're in my hand. So, when I draw them, I'm probably going to ignore that, and I know that's not very mechanically like respectful, but I don't think they had podcasts in mind when they made that decision. Okay, I remove the other 3 copies of Nyarlathotep from the game, which I'm more than happy to do, and I shuffle the set aside Crawling Mist and each set aside copy of Myriad Forms and Whispering Chaos into the encounter deck. along with the encounter discard pile. So do that now. And then I place the Forsaken Towers. There are six, but I choose four, and I place them into play at the cardinal locations around the Great Hall, so north, south, east, and west. And then I have finished resolving this interlude, I think. Okay, so the location above the Great Hall is the Northern Tower, and then the others are called the Eastern, Southern, and Western Tower, clockwise around the Great Hall. Okie dokie. So, that was my first action. So I've got two actions left. And now there are copies of Nyarlathotep in the discard pile. So, do I try to discard Restless Journey, given that I have a Fists of Two? I think probably not. I think that is fair to say. I can't commit more than one card to skill tests each round, which is a bit of a bummer. But I'm sure I'll cope. I might spend these last two actions just to get Deeper Slumber out of play, because I know that as of this moment, having hidden cards in my hand is going to be important. So I think my first two actions are going to be to discard Deeper Slumber. And then I am going to spend a Scroll of Secrets charge to take the bottom card of the encounter deck and see what to do with it. The bottom card is Myriad Form. If one or more copies of Nyarlathotep are in your hand, reveal them. Each one attacks you and is shuffled into the encounter deck. And if he is in play, he moves and attacks as if it were the enemy phase. If no copies of Nyarlathotep attack as a result of this effect, Myriad Forms gains Surge. Okay, so I can, with the taboo Scroll of Secrets, I can discard it, add it to its owner's hand, place it on the bottom of its deck, or place it on the top of its deck. And I think I will discard it. It doesn't help me cycle through the encounter deck any quicker, so there's no point in putting it on top, so it can go on the bottom. And I tap the Scroll of Secrets. Then it is upkeep, so I draw a card, take a resource, and I draw Word of Command. Now that is helpful. I've got three resources. Doom goes on the agenda, we're one of five. And I draw an encounter card. And the encounter card is the Liar with No Face. It preys on the most cards in hand. That's me. And it's a hunter. When Liar with No Face attacks you, if Whispering Chaos is in your hand, reveal it. Liar with No Face deals +2 damage for this attack. That is what we call in the business a butt. Especially because I don't have a Spectral Razor anymore. Okay, so I think what I might try is banish it, because it's not elite. So do I just take banish out from under me and then play it? The problem is that it's just going to catch up to me again, but it would mean that I have some time to try and find my copy of Shriveling, which could be useful. Got 19 cards left in play, so that could well be good. I could commit Guts to the check so that I am likely to draw a card afterwards. Yeah, I think so. So, first action, draw the copy of Banish underneath Sephina into my hand. And then second action, let's spend two resources and play Banish. So, I evade, I use heads instead of feet, and if I succeed, I move the enemy to any location in play. And if I succeed and I reveal a face token, the enemy does not ready in the next upkeep phase. So, I am 5-on-3, I'll commit Guts to be 7-on-3, and I'll hope to draw a face token so that it stays exhausted for a bit longer, because that would be useful. It's the Elder Sign. Right, okay. So the Elder Sign does not count as one of the face tokens, but what it does mean is that I can draw Deny Existence from under, which I think might be useful. Or do I take Read the Signs? That's an interesting question. Which one do I want? I think I want Deny Existence. I don't remember there being... I can't remember if there are any. I don't think any of the Forsaken Towers are more than one per investigator clues, so I'm going to take Deny Existence. And I've evaded your boy, the horrible Gribbly Man, the Liar with No Face. So that can go. to the south, and I will draw a card with guts, which is Banish. Second copy of Banish, that's good. I've got 7 cards in hand now. Counterspell, Time Warp, Counterspell, Word of Command, Deny Existence, Banish, and Restless Journey, Hardship. I've committed all the cards I'm allowed to commit this round, and I'll tap my Scroll of Secrets to look at the bottom card of the encounter deck. And the bottom card is Somniphobia. Okay, so I'm going to put that in the discard pile and flip the encounter deck back over. Right, that's free action, so I've got 1 action left. And in order to try and get away from this Liar with No Face until I draw my Shriveling, I'm going north. So, vast walls shot up and there was a glimpse of a great gate through which the voyagers were swept. All was night in the Titan courtyard, and then came the deeper blackness of inmost things as a huge arched portal engulfed the column. So, you can't use the action ability here unless another card explicitly allows you to do so. So I'm not going to tell you about it, listeners. But this is the Forsaken Tower of Primeval Light. And it's got a Shroud of 4 and a single clue. And that was my last action. So it is upkeep. So I draw a card, gain a resource. I've got a second copy of Grotesque Statue. The Liar with No Face readies in the Southern Forsaken Tower. A Doom goes on the agenda. So we're 2 of 5. And I draw an encounter card. And the encounter card is Whispering Chaos North. Interesting. Peril, so I can't discuss it with you. And hidden. Secretly add this card to your hand. While this card is in your hand, you may activate the ability on the Northern Tower if you reveal this card from your hand. If the ability on the Northern Tower resolves successfully, discard this card. But if it fails, shuffle this card back into the encounter deck. Okie dokie. Right. Mm-hmm. I think I need to use Word of Command to search my deck for a copy of Painted World, first action, to try and then use it on Parallel Fates. So, first action, we're going to spend 2 to play World of Command, and I'm going to name the Painted World. I'm going to search my deck for it. Okie dokie, yep. Right down there at the bottom, like 5 from the bottom. Fair enough. Draw a copy of the Painted World. And shuffle my deck. Right then. Then second action. I will... I don't want to use Parallel Fates until I've got enough money to pay for a time warp. So I think second action, take a resource, which is feels horrible, but there you are. And then third action, I'm going to play Painted World as a copy of Parallel Fates. I'm going to look at the top 4 cards of the encounter deck and reveal a random token from the Chaos Bag. See what happens. So, I might. So, the top 4 cards of the encounter deck are Liar with No Face, Restless Journey, Lies, Abandoned by the Gods, and Dreamer's Curse. None of which are a copy of Nyarlathotep. So, I'm going to be hoping for a face token so that I shuffle these back into the deck. Oh. When you would reveal a Chaos Token, I'm going to spend a Grotesque Statue charge and I'm going to reveal 2 Chaos Tokens. First one is a -1 and the second one is a Skull. Brilliant. I will choose to resolve the Skull and I will shuffle these 4 back into the encounter deck because they were not what we wanted to see, it is fair to say. So, shuffle these 4 back in. That was my last action. I got 1 more Scroll of Secrets charge. So now that I've shuffled those cards back in, I will tap Scroll of Secrets and look at the bottom card of the encounter deck. It is a Acolyte. So I will discard Acolyte. And I will put it in the discard pile. Discard my last Scroll of Secrets charge. So that's empty now. And then it's going to be upkeep. So I do my upkeep. I draw a Crystal Pendulum. It's about time. The Liar with No Face hunts to the Great Hall. I have got another copy of Banish in hand. I've got 2 resources because I didn't need the resource to play Time Warp to undo that because it went well with the Grotesque Statue. I need to discard a card though because I have 9 in hand. So I've got 2 counter spells, I've got a time warp, I've got a deny existence, and a banish, and a grotesque statue, and a crystal pendulum, and a restless journey hardship, and a whispering chaos north. I think I'm going to discard counter spell. I like counter spell, it's very good. However, it's a little bit expensive, and I think I might need the others more. And then it's going to be my encounter card and putting Doom on the agenda. So Doom goes on the agenda, and we go up to 3 of 5 Doom, and I draw an encounter card, which is Restless Journey Lies. Peril Hidden, Revelation, secretly add this card to your hand. You can't commit more than 1 card to skill tests each round. As a free action, I can discard Restless Journey and test 3 feats. And if I fail, place 1 Doom on the current agenda, and that can cause the current agenda to advance. Okay, so I do in fact have better feet than I have fists, so I might test as a free action to try and get rid of that. The only cards I could commit are Banish and the Crystal Pendulum, which isn't ideal. I don't want to commit, no, sorry, not the Crystal Pendulum, the Grotesque Statue. I don't want to commit either of those. Going to do the free action to try and discard Restless Journey. So I'll test 3 heads. Sorry, 3 feet. I'm on 4 feet. I'm on 4 feet. So I will, I think, use the Grotesque Statue. Take a charge off there. And I'm going to guess with the Crystal Pendulum that I succeed or fail by 1. And yeah, let's see how this goes. So I draw a skull and I draw a tablet, which is annoying. So I'm going to spend my 2 resources to play Counterspell, and I will ignore, well, I'll pick 1 of them and then ignore it so I don't put Doom on the agenda, because otherwise I have no hope and I will discard that. Okay, so I've got 2 actions left. And so I will draw a card, I think. Do I take a resource so I can play the pendulum earlier? Draw a card first, Hypochondria. Fair enough, goes in my threat area. And then I'll take a resource, going up to 1 resource. And then in the enemy phase, the liar with no face catches up to me and does 2 horror. And I will deny, will I deny existence? I've got quite a lot of horror. Yeah, I'll go up to 4 horror. I've got 5 left. Doesn't trigger Hypochondria, so that's fine. And I will do my upkeep. So I go up to 2 resources and I draw the Painted World. Brilliant. And then we put Doom on the agenda. Excuse me. We put Doom on the agenda with 4 of 5. And we draw a copy of Dreamer's Curse. Test 5 heads, and for each point you fail away, take a damage to a maximum of 3 damage. Okay, so testing heads. I'm just going to test, I reckon. And then if I don't like what I get, I can deny existence. So, -3. So, I will deny existence, and I won't take the damage. This curse goes away. Okie dokie, I'm in combat with a liar with no face, but I'd quite like... I'm going to banish the liar with no face, spend 2 resources, not getting to play the Crystal Pendulum. Really feeling the lack of David Renfield at this point. So I use heads instead of feet, so I'm 2 up, 5 on 3. I will use my last Grotesque Statue. Oh, this is really hard. Yep, so I'm going to play Banish for 2, and I'm going to spend my last Grotesque Stat. Yeah, play Banish for 2. I'm going to use my last Grotesque Statue charge, so I'm 2 up. -3 and a +1. So I succeed in banishing the liar with no face. With the +1, he goes down to the southmost Forsaken Tower, and he is exhausted. Action 2, I'm going to take a resource. And then action 3, I'm going to take another resource. It's not good. Do I take another resource? I want to try and get the next copy of Grotesque Statue down. The agenda's about to flip, and it's the penultimate agenda, so that's not great. I don't want to use Parallel Fate to look at the top four, find a copy of the man who I can't say his name, and then, like, flub it. Having said that, I do have Time Warp in hand. So yeah, I'm not going to take this. The third action, I'm not going to take a resource. I'm going to play Parallel Fates. Well, I'm going to play the Painted World as a copy of Parallel Fates. I'm going to look at the top four cards of the encounter deck. There's a Nyarlathotep. Cool. So it's Nyarlathotep, Whispers of Hypnos, Whispering Chaos, and Mysterious Chanting. When I draw Nyarlathotep, I will have to secretly add him to my hand. And if I speak of it while it is in my hand and unrevealed, I will be driven insane. He has 4/3/3. He is the Faceless Whisperer. And he has Peril Hidden and Retaliate. I am going to put him on top. I am going to put Whispering Chaos. I think probably the next one after that. And then I'm going to put Mysterious Chanting on the bottom. And Whispers of Hypnos, the third one down. So Nyarlathotep is on top. Remember that, listeners. And then I'm going to draw a token from my chaos bag. And I'm going to see whether I draw a face token or a number. Please be a number. Please be a number. It's a -2. Yes. Excellent. Good. Whoa. I was nervous. Right. Okay. So, enemy phase. No enemies are ready, so I can safely ignore them. Upkeep phase, I draw Shriveling. Nice, and I go up to 2 resources. The Liar with No Face readies down in the South Tower. Doom goes on the agenda, which unfortunately means it advances. So we read the back. The Last Dream. Yes, read on, my puppet. This will be your last dream, your final reprieve. Then I shall take the rest for myself. It is if it is Act 4, read the following. Place clues on each Forsaken Tower location until it has clues equal to its clue value. So I haven't actually discovered the clue here on the Forsaken Tower. I don't need to put a clue on it. Reveal each copy of Nyarlathotep in each investigator's hand. Each investigator who did not reveal a copy of Nyarlathotep must either take a damage or a horror. So I have to take a horror, because I did not reveal a copy. So I go to 5 horror. So I've got 4 sanity left. Agenda 3A. Chaos Incarnate. Hey, Ashunta Nig. I am true chaos. Look not upon my shape, for it is ever changing. I commanded you to keep reading. Look not upon my face, for it is no face at all. I told you to stop running. Listen not for the truth, for the truth is a lie. I warned you not to dream. Mine and mine alone. Nobody else can have it. I dared you not to fight. Run then, rabbit, run. There is nothing more. I cherish the chase. Nothing, nothing. And it's got a doom threshold of 5. Okay, so, first action. Oh, sorry, no, I draw my encounter card. I have now drawn an encounter card. Wink. Okay, so I'm going to spend 2 resources. First action, put down a crystal pendulum. So I've now got 6 heads. I'm going to second action, take a resource. And then third action, I'm going to use Whispering Chaos North, which means I can activate the ability on the Northern Tower. And the ability on the Northern Tower says, choose and reveal a copy of Nyarlathotep from your hand and test heads X, where X is Nyarlathotep's printed health. If you succeed, add that copy to the victory display. But if you fail, it attacks you and is shuffled into the encounter deck. So it's 4/3/3, so it's a heads 3 check. And I'm 6/3, testing. And do I commit the Grotesque Statue? I don't think I do. 6/3, testing. I'm going to guess I succeed or fail by 1. Skull is a -4, which means I fail by 1. So I'm going to play... I'm going to play Time Warp. So I'm going to reset. And I'm going to go again. So I am again 6/3, and again I'm guessing that I succeed or fail by 1. It's a tablet, so I fail by 1. Nyarlathotep does a damage to me, which means I take a horror from Hypochondria. The Whispering Chaos North gets shuffled back into the encounter deck, as does the copy of Nyarlathotep, which is sad. Okay, we shuffle. And then it is the upkeep phase. So I drew a copy of David Renfield with a Crystal Pendulum. And in upkeep, I drew Warder Protection and got to one resource. And then Doom goes on the agenda. We're one of five. And I draw a copy of... Well, listeners, I've drawn a card. Oh, it is the Crawling Mist. It's not a copy of He Who Must Not Be Named. So it preys on the most card in hand. It's Hunter Massive. Increase the difficulty for you to attack or attempt to evade by one for each card in your hand with an encounter card back. Okie dokie. Right, okay, so what do I do? I've got one money. I've got one resource. I've got Grotesque Statue, Shriveling, David Renfield, and Water Protection. I am going to be evading one up. So I think I just got to try and evade it, because if I let it attack me, I'll be on 2 health and 2 sanity, and that seems bad. So 4 on 4, because I have a card in my hand with an encounter card back. I'm going to guess that I fail by 4. Minus 2, I fail by 2. Try and evade again. Well, it is massive. I could just move out and take the attack of opportunity. But again, that seems terrible. I'll try and evade again. It's a skull, which is a minus 4. Try and evade again. Oh, no, because if I do it this way, but if I do that... Basically, the liar with no face has hunted to the Great Hall. I can't remember if I said it did or not. So actually, if I evade... Oh no, if I evade, I'll have one turn's grace, but if I fail, I will die. Minus 1. And then they attack and kill me. So I am defeated. Resolutions. No resolution was reached. Okay. You startle awake, riveted and dazed by the magnitude of the dream that held your attention for so long. And yet, when you try to recall any of it, you remember very little. It is all a haze, like distant memories from decades ago. Just the hint of the dream remains. A black castle, a ship sailing through space, a staircase, a black cat. The only thing you remember is a voice in your head, a fundamental truth of the universe that you cannot shake from your memory. It speaks to you even now as you tremble under the hospital sheets. Your dreams are mine! In your campaign log, record that Nyarlathotep's invasion has begun. And I proceed to... the interlude, and I will be chatting to Predde about how Where the Gods Dwell went. Spoilers, I don't think it went very well for him either. So, I think we did give it a good shake. And I think I got a little bit unlucky not drawing Shriveling or David Renfield earlier. I think what that run really made clear was choosing to swap Uncage the Soul out was probably a mistake. I really struggled for resources in that game. I think I'd actually been much better off swapping out Spectral Razor, weird as it might sound, just because like having it early, it was no use because there was no that enemy that I needed to do 3 damage to was elite. And then kind of the liar with no face is annoying, but being able to pay for Shriveling would have meant I could dispatch it relatively easily. Or I could play Word of Command to go and find Shriveling. And maybe that was the other mistake I made, not playing that Word of Command to find Shriveling, playing it to find Painted World instead, because if I had done it the other way round, then I might have been able to deal with the liar. But, you know, you live and you learn. And this is only the second time I've played this scenario, so I'm pretty happy with how close I got to taking one copy of the big guy down. I hope you've enjoyed this, listeners. I've really enjoyed taking Sephina through the Dreamlands. Seven is actually my most played solo investigator. But I've never taken her through with only Mystic cards. I usually focus super hard on her feat and kind of give her the Rogue Tarot card and the Ornate Bow and all of that good stuff. So this has been a bit of a different style of play for me, which has been really nice. I just like to thank Preda for giving me the idea to run an off-class deck and for playing through this campaign with me. And thank Brownloaf for giving Preda the idea. And to thank everyone on the Drawn to the Flame Discord, who is lovely and brilliant. If you're interested, look out for my decks on ArkhamDB, which I publish as Monotone. I've published a couple of decks recently, which are, I think it's safe to say, they are theme decks. So do go and give those a look. Anyway, we're not recording a full episode on the topic of the epilogue, just because it's not going to take a long time to resolve. So for the last part of this episode, I am joined by...
Hi, it's me, Peredit, from Arkham Horror Badly.
Hello. And so, if listeners... I suspect listeners have already listened to your episode because you released it quite a long time before I released mine, for which I apologise. But in your campaign, I believe the bridge was completed.
It was completed, yes. I managed to get Atlas Natcha to its final form, but then I was defeated by swarms and swarms of spiders, and so Yorick was essentially eaten, I think.
Yeah, yes. And in my episode, as people have just heard, Nyarlathotep's invasion has begun. And because we have those two things written in our campaign log, we read epilogue one. The black cat surveys the destruction. Your world is a battleground. In truth, it has always been. Forces beyond your comprehension have been in conflict with one another far longer than what your kind, or yes, even my kind, realize.
They have long fought over the land of dreams, but there are many realities outside the dreamlands, and only one entity can truly be the ruler of them all. I knew there was always a chance that this might happen, that we might fail, but in the end, at least I can say I tried. It's your fault, really, not mine. And it says, there are no survivors. The investigators lose the campaign. Or in other words, we suck.
Yes, indeed. I think we gave it a relatively good shake. I think we're both relatively new to this campaign. I've only played it once before.
I've played... it depends on what you mean by this campaign. I've played it twice. I've played both sides twice and this one. I'm still quite rusty at it, though. And this was the first time of me playing to the end of the Web of Dreams solo. And that has its own challenges.
And I think we gave it a good go, and I'm quite proud of, I mean, because at the point we record this, you have not heard my trip to Kadarth yet, but I'm relatively happy with how I played, and having listened to yours, I think you did super well in yours, and I think it was very close in both games, I think we gave it a good go.
I think we did. I mean, I actually. Was I defeated in all of the scenarios that I did? All but one, I can't remember. But in everyone except the Thousand Shapes of Horror, where I was just wrecked, I did get pretty far, and it was kind of, I think, mostly bad luck that made me lose. In the final scenario, I was quite pleased with how I was doing up until the point where I drew a great Grey Weaver, took a lot of effort to kill it, and then immediately drew a second Grey Weaver, killed that, and then drew the Graveyard Ghouls, at which point I realised that it was time to throw the towel in, so to speak.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, having listened to your side of the campaign, I think that... it seems like Bless is not quite as good at lower player counts as it is in higher player counts. I don't know what you think about that, but like the variance just seems a lot higher in solo than it does in kind of two or three or four player.
I think what I found was, I think it may be something to do with solo Guardian, which I was effectively playing, because there's not as many ways to put in Blesses in the Bag as Guardian without doing something else at the same time. So, you know, it's quite a lot of effort to put in Blesses. So, for example, you can do the Righteous Hunt route, but you need to be in the situation where that, you know, that gives you a good number of Blesses. You can use Book of Psalms, but that's quite action and resource intensive. Whereas something like, if I were allowed, as it were, to take Survivor cards, then I could have taken something like Keep Faith, which gives you 4 Blesses, I think, for 2 resources, and it's fast. Yeah. And I think just sort of that, a few cards like that in my deck would have made quite a big difference, because I rarely had more than maybe 3 or 4 Blesses in the bag. That's not really enough to fire it effectively. But whereas if I'd had the ability to have maybe 8 or 9 in the bag, then that would have been cool. On a side note, I've just finished playing a solo Amanda through the Innsmouth Conspiracy up until the pack that I have, which is up to the end of Light in the Fog. And I went heavily into Curse for her because I wanted to see how Curse works in solo. And eventually I was able pretty easily to get 10 curses in the bag, which would then trigger all the things that I wanted it to trigger. But even sometimes with 10 curses in the bag, I would go several tests in a row without drawing a curse, because it's still less than 50% chance that you draw a curse if there's even 10 of them in the bag. So I think that in solo, the sheer fact that you are not drawing tokens from the bag as often as tokens are drawn from the bag in multiplayer, I think that means that there's just less likelihood of you drawing the given token that you want. So I think that if you need to have ways of really filling the bag and then ways of really taking tests at the right time, I think that it was really interesting working with the deck that I was working with, but I think that the synergy between different classes, you know, between Guardian and Survivor, or between Mystic and Rogue or something like that for Curse, would, I think that's where a solo Curse or solo Bless is more likely to work, I think, because you can support the weaknesses of each class with another class.
Yeah, I think you are right on that, for sure.
How did you find playing with Sephina then? In terms, were you happy with the way that she plays if you only have Mystic cards in her deck?
Yeah, I say this so the listeners will have heard me kind of ruminate very quickly on this. Sephina is the investigator I've played the most in solo. But I usually go for a tarot card, cat burglar, ornate bow, lockpicks kind of a build with her. So I usually really only take Ward of Protection as my Mystic card, I take Shriveling early because there aren't as many good options for Rogue kind of low level, because obviously you're relying on your fists rather than your feet unless you've got Sharpshooter, and that's relatively recent. I really enjoyed leaning heavily into her Mystic access. I think next time I went, I would probably not go as Mystic unless I was doing kind of an off-class run again. So I'd probably swap Gregory Gry in for David Renfield, and I'd be tempted to pivot into Ornate Bow because not being able to get that upgrade to Shriveling is a bit of a pain.
You could have gone into Ornate Bow with this one, right? Because it's a neutral card.
Yeah, but without any of the bonuses to feet, it doesn't look quite as compelling. Whereas, like, obviously, if you've got Renfield, Crystal Pendulum, a bunch of other Mystic cards, you are good at heads anyway. And I think, actually, to be fair, realistically, it's her mystic side that is most useful in the scenario I just played. I think I got a little bit unlucky at a couple of points in the scenario, and I didn't see shriveling until right near the end of the game. But I think there were a couple of key misplays in there as well that meant that I didn't get set up as quickly as I should have done. So, you know, it's difficult to say. But I'm keen to kind of keep playing with the concept. I think it's a really interesting idea to freshen up how you look at an investigator. Because playing Sefina this way feels almost entirely different to how I've played her previously. And this is maybe the fourth campaign I've taken her through solo. So I've played her, as I say, I've played her quite a lot. So it's nice to have that fresh feeling.
It is. This is why I quite like this way of playing Arkham, in that it forces you probably to not play with the cards that you would usually or instinctively put in that deck. I think with some investigators, the off-class idea works more smoothly than others. It's simultaneously as an experiment, I think it's a useful learning tool, but also it's quite fun to force yourself down a certain corridor and see what happens. And I think with Yorick, his guardian access does give him access to quite some nice cards, and it's also clear how good he is at fighting, potentially, you know, with Vicious Blow 2, with Winchester in play, he was wrecking things when he got the cards. And it never struck me before that Yorick was, I mean, obviously he is a fighter because that's his best stat, but, you know, he actually can go toe-to-toe with Guardians, especially if he starts recursing weapons from the discard pile. And I think that that's something that I hadn't appreciated quite as much before.
Yeah, no, definitely. I would like to see you do a Tommy run on Arkham Horror Badly that kind of focuses on the Bless aspect more. Because I think that's also something I'd be keen. I guess it might not qualify as badly because it might work quite well. But I'd be keen to see people explore the Bless Curse archetype. Because I don't think a lot of people have done, and I haven't seen many people discussing it like how it works in solo. So I think I'm hoping that we do see like more exploration of these playstyles, especially now that in the UK, Lair of Dagon comes out on Friday, and we've already got into the maelstrom because time is an illusion. Lunchtime, doubly so. And so, I'm excited to see what the Blurs archetype looks like with all of the tools to use it.
There are some missing pieces until we have all the Mythos packs, I think, and especially, for example, there's a card which I'm not going to talk about in specifics in case somebody hasn't opened into the maelstrom, but there are cards in that which really made Amanda's curse deck work really dramatically well up to a certain point, until she started drawing multiple curses in a turn and then she died. But let's not talk about that. But, you know, there are some things which are missing if you're only playing with some of the packs. I mean, I've played Bless a few times now on my cast, not just Yorick, but also I've played Mateo using only Blessed cards.
Yes, that was a good run.
That worked really well, I think. I was partly lucky, but, you know, Radiant Smite is phenomenal if you can get it to fire. His ability, you know, there are things that you can do with Bless tokens which don't really care about player counts, and I think the cards, especially in Guardian, which fish the Blesses out of the bag and do something with them, they are probably the strongest solo Bless cards, I think, because it doesn't rely on chance. It doesn't rely on chance in order to find and utilize the Bless. You just get them into the bag, and then you can use them. Whereas if you're trying to hope that you draw a Bless with every draw, then that's less likely. So I think we'll find out once people have played with the whole cycle. Find out that there are some cards, I think, which are really quite good in solo for Bless or Curse, and some which really don't are not likely to work that well.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I've actually been playing a Bless team with Mateo and Silas through the Forgotten Age, and that is proving quite fun. I am enjoying seeing how that goes a lot, and it is interesting because I remember you because I was talking about Blessing of Isis with you, and you said that you'd been having you had found that it does not fire as often as you'd like. And I find that basically I've taken Olive McBride, and in half the games we've played, I've like gotten loads of hits by using her and finding two blesses. And then in the other half of the games, I've had absolutely no luck at all. And it just, I would have expected it to work some of the time and not kind of work all the time in half the scenarios and none of the time in the other half. So that's really interesting to see how that goes. But it is fun, and it's a very different. It's really cool to have this like completely new spin on how to play the game. So I am enjoying it a lot.
Well, it's been really great playing with you through the campaign. I think it's been really interesting, and I hope that our listeners have got some measure of enjoyment out of it. I think in the future we should try something again that is that links our two podcasts. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. When Maxine writes another campaign that can be played in two discrete runs, I think we might have to do this again for sure.
Yes, hopefully she'll do it very soon. I mean, what we could do, like the Innsmouth conspiracy, and one person takes the happening in present day, and the other person takes the flashbacks, which would be a bit of a headache. But
oh, that's an interesting idea, though. I quite like that. No, that would be cool.
I think, yeah, you invited me to do this, and I thought it was a fun idea, and I do hope that I hope to play with you again on the cast, but I also hope that the listeners have been encouraged or piqued to try out off-class investigators for themselves.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for playing with me, and until next time. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Goodbye.